Good evening, everyone. All right, we will call this regular scheduled meeting to order. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan. Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Ask everyone to please stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the Republic of which is a nation of God.
Alrighty, Yep. So, I don't know if she's not in here, and I don't know if she's on the Zoom, so. Okay. Well, if she shows up, we will certainly let her have the floor, if she'd like. Okay, so we'll go ahead with the elected official comments and announcements, and Bob, would you like to start?
Thank you. I hope everyone's well-rested after our little respite here. Congratulations to all the kids heading back to school today and the college kids who have been going over the last couple of weeks. The only thing that I have tonight is I'd just like to congratulate Rick and Lisa Gillis, whose son just recently graduated from Marine boot camp and is now stationed in Pensacola, so to serve our country. So congratulations to them.
Oh, yeah. Yay. Go Christian.
Hello. I have no comments. Just want to say welcome back to everyone. Glad to see everyone smiling and ready to roll.
Thing to add. Thank you.
Okay.
Just one item. Well, good evening, everyone. The age-friendly committee met. We took the second draft of a report in terms of just the general report, but we still are focusing on findings and actually action items for each of the findings. So that's going to be what we're going to be attempting to approach and complete by this next coming board meeting, committee meeting, I should say. Other than that, that's about it.
Okay. Thanks, Russ. I have very little to say other than I am on the Greentown Task Force along with you, Kathy, and Eric Simon. And this is basically the first time that the West will be getting together to really focus on sustainability issues as a collaborative. This event has been held in Oak Park in various parts of the state, but this is, I think, one of the first times that it's in this area as the West Suburban Greentown event, and it'll be educational. There'll be advocacy, and we're looking forward to really bringing the communities together to really focus on how we can combat climate change together. Again, to Christian. Erica.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still is inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. And we will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I second the great fortune of parents of River Forest and community-wide that their kids are going back to school. I was just telling Lisa, I find myself being the parent of a freshman in high school, and it feels a little unreal. So
Let's
just take it day by day here. I also do want to just update folks on DEI. Was able to participate. I'm trying to think now because it's been all summer. At least one DEI meeting with the mayor's municipal caucus, and we were able to go through some really interesting topics, choose what the outline for next year will be. And it was really interesting because we all have a lot of ideas, and truly we came up with agenda through 2024.
Wow.
So, I mean, things, obviously priorities change and all, but there's a lot that we are interested in. I'm happy to be a part. Also, our DEI advisory group, we have our RFP subcommittee finalized the RFP along with the review of the larger group in general, and we put out the bid.
Mm-hmm.
Bids were due last week, and we got 16 bids.
Yeah, wow.
So they are across the country. They are from our community. We have an international one, so we feel very lucky to have the that, and we'll be continuing on the in the upcoming week.
Very good. Sounds very promising. Thanks for that update. Well, I don't have much to report. Again, like everyone else said, we wish our school children good luck in the new school year, and hopefully pandemic-free as we move forward. Like everybody else, I took a few days for vacation, so I didn't have a lot going on, but we did spend quite a bit of time on C4, which is the collaborative climate group between the 15 regional municipalities across this western suburbs. And we're really trying to shape that collaborative with, you know, what kind of projects and goals, because the whole intent is to try to get the brown and black communities kind of, you know, moving ahead in major projects like solar, transportation, housing, and it's really incredibly exciting. I'm really psyched about it. More to come on that. So we probably have more meetings than I've ever met on. So that's good. Also, as Lisa mentioned, Greentown, we did have a meeting with Greentown. That is going to be a really kind of a cool, it's going to be a summit, basically, you know, on climate change. And it's going to be hosted in Oak Park, and we're going to be one of the big communities that will be part of the Greentown. I believe the last time they had it, you know, prior to COVID, was in Rockford, and it was a huge success, and many communities came together, you know, both local and outside of Illinois. So it's kind of going to be, I think, something that's going to kind of propel us into kind of another area of climate change. And as we all know, our president just signed a climate change bill that was significant. So I think we're making all the right moves, both nationally and locally, to really tackle climate change, which is a very real problem. And then I think last we met with Brad Cole, the executive director of IML, Brian and I, to kind of gear up for our summer meeting that we will host here in River Forest. IML is a statewide association, basically, with 1,300 municipalities. Now, we're not going to have 1,300 municipalities descending on River Forest, but we'll have the board of directors of that league here, and we will hopefully they'll see a little bit of River Forest, a little bit of Oak Park, a little bit of all of us. So I'm real pleased that we were able to host them. That's about it. So with that, yeah. Oh, okay. Phyllis, you're here.
I think yep. One thing. I think it's this weekend. Isn't the food truck rally this
yes.
weekend?
Yes, and thank
yeah,
you.
This weekend.
So,
thank
yes.
you.
I was looking at Lynn.
And
that's
Mike.
Why I was looking at Lynn. I said, there's something Lynn's
yes,
going
thank
on
you,
this
Bob.
Weekend.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Food truck rally. Please, please, if anybody's
yeah.
listening
lot
out there. A lot of fun. This is, you know, people always say, you know, there's so many fests out there, Rib Fest and Elmwood Park Fest. And, well, this is our fest. And so this is our way of kind of bringing the community together. We're collaborating with the Park District and the Kiwanis. So, you know, thanks to Mike and Lynn and the whole team over there, they really have put a great program together. So, tell your family and friends and neighbors, please come out. It's a ton of fun. It really is. What time does it start? 3?
4 to 9.
4 to 9. All right. Thanks, Mike. So, yeah. So, Phyllis, you are here. I will give you the floor if you'd like.
Thank you. Oh. Thanks.
Hi, Phyllis Rubin, 411 Ashland Avenue, Chatterton, right near Lake and Lathrop. So I want to talk to you about Lake and Lathrop. Nothing's gone on in the past, I don't know, since they broke, nothing's been happening in the last month. We have just recently got a call from Mark, what's his name? Mark of Sedgwick.
Mark McKinney.
Who my board is discussing this now because they want access to our northern boundary and our northern parking spaces. So I think we're going to be probably going to be pulling the village into this too, because I don't think we have spaces for six or seven cars to park anyplace else. So you'll be hearing about that. But meanwhile, the place is a mess. The barrier is coming down, at least between us and them. I think the whole thing doesn't look very good. The other people in my building are saying they're sloppy contractors. I would like to, this is somebody else in my building is writing, I would like to see the village insist on concrete barriers to allow for pedestrians to navigate the sidewalks on Ashland, Lake Street, and Lathrop. Who knows when or how long this project will take, now that they've had the entire summer off. I doubt this point where they'll make their construction due dates for next year, even if they get started tomorrow. We cannot and should not have to walk over pea gravel, plywood, metal plates, and fencing that constantly obstructs our sidewalk passage. This site is very poorly regulated. The privacy screening is in disrepair. It looks like a village junkyard rather than a work site. The 5-gallon buckets are 2/3 filled with concrete, and they're breeding grounds for mosquitoes when it rains, and the sidewalk clothes signs reflect the cheap outfit this project really is. That is not me, that is another neighbor watching and writing. Winter is coming. If it's like this in the winter, you remember what happened last winter. You complained about, no, they did not clean the sidewalk. You remember this, okay. I don't know what your part in this is anymore, but this is not a good look for the village at all.
Thank you. Okay. Well, we do have responsibility for our sidewalks, I assume, right? And the care for that. And so I tend to actually agree with you on this, in that we may have to make sure that they are clear and clean. So you know, there's passage. We were just talking about this before the meeting began. So I'm going to let Brian both address. And again, I don't want to get into it because it's just comment, but I do think it's important that we address the being able to walk on that sidewalk, because I think that is something that is our total responsibility. But I do want to remind all the village residents, if they're listening or and I'm posting this on Facebook, we do update our website. So when there's something that's happening, like I know NICOR was out there, other utility companies were out there, they were trimming the trees, we do update our website to include the activity that has happened during the summer. It may not seem like a lot to you, but there has been some activity, and we try to update our website so that people know, so we're as transparent as possible, and that you know as much as we know. So I'm going to let Brian answer any of the other questions, like regarding the sidewalk.
Yeah, regarding the condition of the sidewalk, there's actually two different sequences of events that I just want to explain real quickly. And part of it is, as Kathy alluded to and was also alluded to by Phyllis, the condition of the barricades is something that is definitely on the developer, and we will move forward on addressing that issue. There are some other conditions on the sidewalk itself at the corner of Lake and Lathrop that are actually coincidental and not related to Lake and Lathrop. As many of you have seen, there has been some underground utility work going on. There have been improvements by a number of our cable and internet providers to do some fiber optic improvements along Lake and Chicago and Madison and the like. And so there are a few places where that work has been done. That area is now taking time to settle, and then there's the patchwork that'll take place after the fact.
Lake and Lathrop, that corner happens to be one of those that's been impacted by it. That being said, especially now that school has started back up, we want to make sure that the students that are walking to that corner aren't impeded. So we'll be following up with those contractors and making sure that that work is taken care of. So all the comments that are spot on, and we'll make sure it gets addressed.
Thanks, Phil. All right, let's move on to the consent agenda.
Okay. Can I make an omnibus motion regarding 7A, the board and commission appointments?
Wait, we're going to the consent agenda.
Oh, we're not in the...
Where are we at? I'd love to get to that point right now.
Oh, okay.
We're still on the consent agenda. So if you move
to
the consent
agenda... I think it's...
Make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through K.
I know we make that mistake. All right. Any questions regarding any of these items or comments? Okay, hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please read each item and then take the vote.
Consent agenda A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes July 11th, 2022. B, Village Board of Trustee Executive Session Meeting Minutes, July 11th, 2022. C, a right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 629 Thatcher Avenue. D, a right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with property owners at 558 Keystone Avenue. E, a right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system and the public right-of-way with the property owners at 755 Monroe Avenue. Approval of an agreement with Baxter and Woodman to complete pump station energy efficiency study for not to exceed cost of $30,000 and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. G, monthly department reports. H, accounts payable July 2022, $2,093,599.89. I, monthly financial report June 2022. J, monthly financial report July 2022. K, village administrator's report. Trustee Johnson? Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Right. Now, next up is my recommendations of boards and commissions and committees, and I ask a trustee and to move it and second these appointments.
Okay. Well, I'd like to make an omnibus motion regarding 7A1 through 7A8 to concur with the reappointments and the appointments by the village president to the various commissions and boards as outlined in the agenda to be read by John.
Any questions or comments regarding these appointments and reappointments? Remind the village board that I do take the time and energy to talk to each and every one of these commissioners, and I thank them for their service and their volunteerism. I mean, it is a lot of work, and we're very lucky to have a really engaged community. So I appreciate your support on these appointments.
First, apologies for butchering these names in advance. Board and Commission appointment, I, Plan Commission, reappoint David Crosby as member and chair, 4-year term expiring April 2026. B, reappoint Roberto Armalas, 4 years term expiring April 2026. 2, Development Review Board, A, reappoint Marianne Fishman, 2-year term expiring April 2024. Reappoint Jane McColl, 2-year term expiring April 2024. Reappoint David Crosby, 2-year term expiring April 2024. 3, Zoning Board of Appeals. Reappoint Frank Martin as member and chair, 5-year term expiring April 2027. Reappoint Ron Lucchesi, 5-year term expiring April 2027. Traffic and Safety Commission. Reappoint Doug Reese as member and chair, 4-year term expiring April 2026. Reappoint Aaron Yarriman, 4-year term expiring April 2026. Reappoint David Carroll, 4-year term expiring April 2026. Reappoint Patricia Chase, four-year term expiring 2026. Ethics Commission, reappoint Greg Ignafo, two-year term expiring April 2024. Fire Pension Board, appoint Tom Severinson, three-year term expiring 2025. Board of Police and Fire Commissioners, appoint Nathan Melman, three-year term expiring April 2025. Historic Preservation Commission, appoint Brian Murr, Schwartz, vacancy, remainder of term expiring 2025. Development Review Board.
No, that's it.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so I think then we move into the continuation of what is the, that's not
board.
Oh, board action. Right.
Board action.
Commission action. Yep, sorry. So, okay, we'll need a motion to, to approve this ordinance. And then we'll discuss it.
Motion to approve an ordinance granting an amendment to a planned development permit for the River Forest Park District, Keystone Park, 7920 Central Avenue.
Second.
Okay. Park District. Yeah, Lynn and Mike and whoever, welcome.
Good evening. My name is Lynn Lebra. I'm the president of the Park Board. First, thank you for rocking through the agenda. When I looked at it, I was I had dinner before I came. secondly, Trustee O'Connell, thank you for the pitch on our Saturday event. We've been up here before with this project and have been through, jumped through some hoops and some made some minor changes. But basically, we're back here with pretty much the same arrangement that we had before. So if you could move to the next slide, please.
You have it, right?
We're here. Yeah.
You have it.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
What did you think he gave you?
Thank you. So the way this started is we are desperately in need of resurfacing our five tennis courts and have been for a while. Been resurfaced time and time again. A core sample indicates that they're a good foot thick. They're pitched the wrong way as far as rainwater as well as playability is concerned, and they're built on top of dirt with stone base. So they simply need to be replaced. And so what we did as a board is step back and looked at the east part of Keystone East as a whole, because it's a little askew. Things have been plopped down over time, and we figured we could do a better job of space. And so what we've done is redesigned it. For the most part, it's really picking up the tennis courts, doing a shift, moving a couple of them, picking up the batting cages and putting them more centralized in terms of the two ball fields, and improving the aesthetics overall because of this newness, and the fencing is quite different, and overall creating more recreational opportunities and space. Some of the opportunities we have embedded in the plan, some of them will be for future use. So that's where we came from. That's what we have as a whole. And at this point, I'll shift it to our executive director, Mike Sletten.
Good evening. I'm Mike Sletten. I'm the director of the Park District. Also with me is Todd Abrams. He's an engineer from the WT Group now, right? So he's our civil and lighting engineer for the project. So we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of this project. As Lynn discussed, this is a rebuild of pretty much existing facilities. What we're going to be doing is the replacement of the five tennis courts with five new lighted tennis courts. We're going to be replacing the, moving around the two ten sitting walls on site. We will be keeping that same product or the same walls and relocating them in a new location. Doesn't go on the white. So we'll just move forward. So we'll be rebuilding the four lighted batting cages we have right now. Two of them will be lit. They'll be permanent cages. The other two will be temporary cages. We will be, right now we have two basketball hoops on the tennis court site. We will be creating a new basketball, a lighted basketball hoop area south of the tennis courts. There is a flagpole on site. We will be replacing that with a 30-foot flagpole that will be next to the baseball scoreboard. We'll show you that in a little later. In addition, then the tennis courts also be dual lined for pickleball use. And again, we're creating out of this a 960 square foot lighted basketball practice play area. So here's the existing site plan. You can see we outlined in yellow the tennis portion of it. So we have the three courts to the north, the two to the south, all of them are lit. There's also the hitting wall area to the north of the two southern courts. In addition, then directly east of the tennis courts is the batting cages. And then north of that between Lake Street is a grass area right now. What we're gonna do, this is the new redesign. So in this, we're still keeping the five lighted tennis courts reoriented to be a group of four and a single court. The batting cages on this, you can see the lighted cages are being moved along Central Avenue west of the Keystone Center. And then you can see the net only, or that says on there, two batting cages net only to the north of the tennis courts by the now synthetic softball field up there. As part of the stormwater requirements, we have to put in a drainage swale. So that will be up by Lake Street. And then the last item would be, you know, south of the single tennis court is where the new lighted basketball hoop area will be. The tennis courts and the basketball hoop area will all be fenced and gated for use. Oh, and then in that it does show where the lighted flagpole is. It will be lit. So this slide just shows an overlay of the existing with the new facilities, just to give you an idea how it will all lay out, and certainly we're creating a much more efficient layout of space. So this is the proposed batting cage structures we'll be putting up. So the top slide is the two batting cage structure that we currently have at Priory. It will look identical to that structure out there. Matter of fact, use the same bid to build the two. So concrete surface, caged around, it will be lit the same. In this case, the prior ones are not lit. The new ones will be. Todd will be talking about the lighting in a little bit. And then the lower slide shows the temporary nets that will be over by the synthetic field. It will be ultimately six poles with nets that will be raised at the beginning of the River Forest Youth baseball season and then dropped at the end of the season. So basically, April 1st to June 1st would be its season. The surface underneath it will remain grass. So little hard surface impact, right? So benefits, and you may have noted a little bit when we did the overlay of the two sites. So the project's gonna see a 9.1% decrease in concrete and asphalt surface area. That's pretty significant. A reduction of 3,920 square feet. We're 38% decrease in chain link fence, or a reduction of 6,515 square feet of fence. Part of that is the fencing is the reorientation of the courts, and the new fence height is now 8 foot versus 10 foot. That's now the typical specifications for tennis courts or their needs. So obviously aesthetically much more pleasing. A decrease in light poles. Currently, we have eight out there. The new one will have five, and that's regarding the tennis. The tennis courts will be able to put a greater distance. Right now, they're 9 feet, which is not the best situation. We can increase it to 10. That would be match up what we do over at Washington right now. The tennis players seem to like that a lot more. Obviously, an improved surface drainage on the tennis courts. We'll be able to centrally locate the permanent batting cages between the two fields, the baseball fields that are out there right now. And it will give us added recreation opportunities, most importantly, the pickleball and the basketball open hoop area. And then finally, the park aesthetics. We just think once this layout and the reduction of fencing in the concrete and the asphalt certainly will be a better aesthetic impact. So this is a slide of the landscape plan. So we don't have much space to work with here between moving everything around and trying to keep some space open for future recreation opportunity. What we have done is we've measured 20 varying quality trees, and most of them, and when we did this slide, it was 20. It's, I think we've lost about a third of them already. So most of them have gone down from emerald ash borer and other things at this point. So we know 20 will need to be removed from the project. We can put in 13 on the project site. Using the village calculation for replacing the diameter, we figure we're going to need to put in 52 trees in Keystone Park or at other sites. This is similar to what we just did with the library agreement with those heaters. And when we went through the plan development review, for the agreement was that would be 1 year once the project gets permits. We would have no problems with that. And then with that, I'm going to turn it over to Todd. Todd's going to talk about the stormwater drainage and the lighting, the court lighting. Am I going to do this?
Okay. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Todd Abrams. I'm the Executive Vice President of WT Group and the civil engineer on the project. I also coordinated with the electrical engineers on the lighting design and the electrical design for the pickleball courts and the basketball. What we're looking at here is a sketch of the proposed site plan, and we also highlight the detention pond on the north side of the tennis courts. Mike mentioned today that the tennis courts aren't pitched correctly, kind of pitch all over the place, but in general, half of the area drains towards Lake Street, half of the area drains towards Central. That's all what we call undetained. It just drains over land and drains right into the streets. Under the new MWRD ordinance, we're required to capture those areas and route them into a detention pond and restrict that release. And that's what that detention pond that is on the north side of the tennis court. So all stormwater from disturbed areas, the development will be directed towards that detention pond, and it'll basically drain through a very small, what we call a restrictor, less than or around 3-inch hole in a plate. So drainage flows from the site will be drastically reduced after this development. What we're looking at here is a photometric plan. It's kind of hard to read. Mike mentioned there's five new Musco poles going in for the tennis court / pickleball courts, basically one at each corner of the northerly row of four tennis courts, and then one in the middle shining west and the southerly tennis court / pickleball court. And we also have two new 30-foot LED lights going in on the east and the west side of the basketball court, which is at the southerly extent of the development, just north of the parking on Central. when we started the project, we went out and we took what's called photometric readings of existing light levels on site. It's pretty hard to see on this, but basically the proposed light levels 5 feet east of the tennis courts, maybe 25 feet north of the tennis courts, 10 feet west of the new tennis courts, and just north, right at the north edge of the parking stalls on the north side of Central Avenue, the proposed light levels are at zero when all these lights are on. And when we went and tested existing light levels, we tested an area on the south curb line of Central, and we found that lighting level to be 8.5, so pretty decent improvement. And for instance, we measured a light level at the sidewalk that runs east-west north of the existing tennis courts. You can kind of see it on this drawing. It was at 0.5, and it's zero right at the 5-10 feet north of the proposed tennis court. So the new lights, these new LED lights, they're much more focused. There's a lot less spillage.
What is this going to be? Concrete? It's going to be grass? Open space right here. Hey, grass?
It is proposed to be green space.
So the board right now is working, beginning a strategic planning process, so we'll be identifying that use and other sites in the next 6 months. Right now it is, the purpose of this project, it's an open space.
This is just photometric lighting levels of the basketball courts. Again, there'll be two new lights on the east and west sides in the center of the courts. Again, 30-foot tall LED lights. Denise's new LED lights are really focused. Doesn't really show it very well on this, but lighting levels as a result of these new lights will be just south, will be zero in the parking stalls essentially on Central Avenue. So there's very little spillage compared to what's out there today.
I have a question. Sure. About the lighting for the basketball courts. I spoke with Matt earlier today as well. The lighting for the tennis is going from 39 to 50. From what I understand, 50 feet is now sort of the standard for lighting. I'm wondering for the basketball courts why those aren't going to 50 feet as well. And the type of lighting, if I understand correctly, is a different kind. It's like what you would see in parking lots, not the other kind.
Exactly, and everything you said, 100% correct. I would note one item. Two of the existing Musco lights that light the existing tennis courts are 50 feet tall. So the six are 39 feet tall. Two are 50 feet tall. The new standard is 50 feet for tennis court lighting. It's because of the new lighting systems. It's LED light. What the type of lights that are out there today are called metal halide. The new light systems are mostly all LED, and basically they require a significant amount less of lighting fixtures. I think today there's 39, maybe. So I think we're going from 39 to 15, so we're cutting that actual light fixtures more than in half.
So is 30 feet the standard for basketball?
There's really no standard. We felt the light levels with a 30 foot tall light is applicable to a basketball court. These will be lit enough to play. And again, these are just same type of lights, and I've actually got a slide coming up as a parking lot light, which sometimes are around 25 or 30 feet tall.
I guess the question that Erica, is that can you play with that lighting? I mean, is it going to be dark?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Okay. I mean, is it, so I guess that's, she's saying, what's the standard for basketball, outdoor basketball?
I would say there's really no for this type of.
But your professional opinion, is this something that you could play without, you know, bumping into each other?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think the readings are between 5 and 10 foot candles. It's sufficient lighting. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's many things that go into it. You know, how many light poles you put in will affect how tall you can make them, what type of lights you put in. These are forward throw lights, so they try to focus the light levels going forward. So that's why we've got two lights on either side. They're throwing against each other to kind of, you know, amplify the light levels. But yeah, you could do, you know, three or four lights at shorter lights that would light the same. That's one of the benefits of having these two at 30 feet is we only need two light fixtures.
So is it, if it does come out dark, we can take the steps to improve it just as much as the tennis courts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be as easy as just running a conduit for another light.
You see here that there's a standard for tennis, but not a standard for basketball. Imagine that there would be.
Well, the standard that we're using for the tennis courts is the U.S. standard. So I wouldn't say that there, if we were going to light an NBA standard basketball court for exterior play, I don't actually know that. I don't know that we meet that, but this is a recreational basketball court. So there's really no standard. There's no.
I guess there's gotta be something that you have guided by. Otherwise you're just throwing dart.
Exactly.
Well, but I think what Bob O'Connell said is probably right. I mean, they look like they're half courts. So long as, I guess our concern is as long as you can actually, you know, physically play on the court and it's not.
Absolutely.
And if you're saying in your professional opinion and the park supporting it, that these are sufficient, more than sufficient lighting for a basketball court, that's what I think we need to be assured.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very difficult to read
it's
on the exhibit, but we've got light levels of 11-foot candles, you know, 10, 12-foot candles at the extent of the court. So that's more than enough light levels.
What's the foot candles for the tennis
court? In the center of the tennis courts. They range from 17 to 35. Say I can see the average for the average for the tennis courts is about 26 foot candles.
I just feel like maybe there's some more research here to be done unless you've done it. Again, I find it hard to believe that there's not a standard for recreation.
So the other thing that we have to make sure we don't want too much light that goes over the backs and into the residence.
That's fine, but I do think that we could probably keep foot light more direct, and it's brighter.
You show the fixtures.
We're getting to that next.
Yeah,
this is an individual fixture for tennis court light. Again, they're all LED. This is what the pole is going to look like for the Musco tennis court light. Most of the poles will have two fixtures on them, two or three fixtures.
Is the light directed to
the Musco lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're aimed. So when they actually get out there, they're, you know, Musco will put them in the best location, okay, essentially. And this is what the basketball hoop light will look like. Again, it's
how many are there?
Two, one at each side, one at each end of the court, the basketball courts. But again, I mean, there's more than sufficient light. It's going to be lit as much as a parking lot would be, and actually more than what an average parking lot would be lit at. But there will be ability to add a light
I guess Lynn and Mike, I guess what I'm hearing the board saying is that I don't know if I would hang it up because we're not 100% sure, but I would like to reserve the right to, if it's inadequate, as Trustee Johnson said, if it's inadequate, we find that our residents can't play because it's too dark, right? I mean, then we'd like to reserve the right to talk to for you to change it. You know, if it, you know, we know we need to deal with the residents around it, but I'm prepared to do that. We can't have a basketball court you can't play on if it's not lit properly.
I don't think that's what he suggests.
I think
so. This is where we get hung up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People hire consultants and experts to do this, and then we come in and we question it. So nope. your statement is absolutely true. Is we should go back and evaluate it if it doesn't work, but we shouldn't hang it up because.
That's what I said.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm reacting is that, and it's not, it's just that you said there was no standard. So there's only way we know for sure is if we try it out.
Right. So if you drive by Keystone Park at 10 o'clock on a fall night when they're playing pickleball out there, it lights up half of the baseball field. So, you know, I mean, it's the light that shadows off of it, okay? And so you're going to have some of that. So you have, it's not a concentrated effort on the basketball court. You have the tennis courts, you've got the pickleball. Courts. So I,
Bob, and I think we're all in agreement with that. It just said it's got to be, you got to be able to play on it.
Absolutely.
I think all we're saying is since there is no standard and we don't know,
like people who play tennis, the average for those tennis courts is going to be 26 humans or whatever.
Right.
Can't. For the basketball courts, so. There's a discrepancy there, and I just want to make sure that if that I think of a parking lot light, and I don't think that that's necessarily bright enough to play.
I think if the objective is to worry about the concerns of the tenants, then it should be universal in that lighting. So that if it's dark in one area because we're worried about the tenants, and we can't say it should be super light over here. But yet still say we're worried about the tenant, the residents.
Not worried about this. I don't mean that because I think we've already had lights out there.
So, the design is all a balance based on the use, the need for the use facility and the residents around there too. Don't want to start putting in, if we don't have to, 50-foot light poles, extra 50-foot light poles, because glare and sight line are the two things that impact, you know, the residents.
I don't think it's not what we have to. It's what, if you got to be able to use it. So all we're saying is, and I think you would have to agree.
So I could just say from the design they're doing, this is how they designed other same foot candles have been designed at other tennis courts at other park districts.
Other tennis courts, other basketball courts as well.
And I guess we're saying is, you know, we're not questioning your professional opinion. We just want to make sure, that we want to support the residents and, you know, and people basketball courts and the tennis. So if that's possible, that's all we want. I think the board is saying. So, you know, I wouldn't hang it up for because there's no standard. I would just ask that if for any reason we hear through our residents and people who use the basketball courts that it's insufficient lighting, then I'd ask that we come back to the park district and talk through that. And get proper lighting.
It would be like any complaint we have. If there was a complaint, we're certainly going to address it and review it. If we had a complaint on this or anything else we have, we certainly
and solving it is two different things. I want to make sure we solve it. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to just review it. I want to make sure that we solve the problem. If it's insufficient lighting, I'd like to be able to solve the problem.
Okay.
But we understand your point right now. And your professional opinion right now, and I accept that. So I don't know any different either. I'm not being next.
This is what the this is what the batting cage lights will look like.
Okay.
So two little lights. And that's all.
Is that okay with everybody?
Any other questions?
I don't know where we're at. I think it looks great. I think you've done a really nice job of almost, you know, really making it look nice, rearranging the tennis courts and everything else. So I applaud you guys for doing all that. It's, and then I think every, moving everything, the batting cage, makes total sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we certainly didn't want to do, but we have to deal with what was done in the past. And we only have 30 acres to work with as a total in the whole agency. So we had to, at this point, the board's really working on, we really got to make maximized efficiency.
I'll agree. So, well done.
At this point, we have it on our website what's going on. You know, everything's contingent on the approval of the project. MWRD, we expect probably in the next week or so, then we'll be going into full throttle. You know, we're already working with Trinity. Obviously, the court's going to be closed, so they're moving to finish out their tennis season at an alternate location. We're limiting things like lessons for tennis for the fall. I think they've eliminated them all, so that opens up the Washington tennis. And we'll be encouraging. We'll be working with Oak Park to encourage people to go.
I think you mentioned it already, but your timeline for completion.
So we're tentatively to start October 1st. We would anticipate that we'll get all the paving, the fencing, all done. By mid to late November. I can't paint the courts though till it gets warm enough. So everything then, you know, the painting will come probably around May 1st next year.
I know you guys have done a lot of this throughout the community already. Can you maybe talk through this and then what that will be as you are working in the park and having going through knowing necessarily that there's.
So the construction, the site will be fenced off. I don't know if it's all chain link or if it's just orange. Yeah, I think it's the orange fence. The construction, though, is limited to come only off of Central. So the goal is they're going to start at Lake Street and then back away. So you'll see the demo. They should be doing the excavation for the retention pond, putting in all the stormwater, and then paving backwards. So that site will completely be closed, and the only access, obviously, there'll be a crossover at the sidewalk at Central Avenue. So that should be the only impact to the community.
Any other questions for Mike or Lynn? Well, thank you. I think well prepared. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if there's no further questions or comments, I'll ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Vasquez.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Good luck to you guys and see you in the park. Zoning Board of Appeals. So if I can get a motion on this 7C.
I move to approve an ordinance granting the requested variations to section 10-9-7 and 10-8-7C-2B of the zoning ordinance at 1443 Forest Avenue.
Second.
Who's going to give this update? Are you, Matt, or Brian?
So for this request, the purpose, the homeowner wants to add an elevator to the site, help with accessibility for a family member that lives in the home. So in order to construct that addition, setback variance was needed on the first and second floor. There were no comments at the public hearing at the Zoning Board of Appeals. There were three letters in support of the project received by the nearby neighbors.
So, yeah, it looked like it passed the board.
This is just extending the existing setback.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions regarding this? It looks kind of...
That's That's it.
So, don't have any issues. I'm like, so very good. So.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes. Okay, so we'll move on to new business. We have no unfinished business. So new business, this is, if I can get a motion in a second, we can discuss.
Motion to direct the village administrator to process Concordia University's request for a minor amendment to the plan development permit for digital scoreboard. Excuse me.
Second.
Okay. So, Brian, I'll let you do since you're the minor amendment guy.
I'm the minor amendment guy. Yes, indeed. So included in your packet is information regarding a proposed minor amendment from Concordia University. Concordia, back in 1999, presented an overall planned unit development for their site to the village for consideration, and included it in that 1999 packet was the placement of a scoreboard at the sports center, lack of a better way of knowing how to describe it. So the age of that unit has reached a point where they're looking to replace it, and what they're looking to replace it with is the similarly sized panel for the scoreboard itself. There's, however, it is a fully LED system versus the light bulb incandescent type that's there currently. As well, there is some decorative features that come with that. In concern for the neighbors that live in the area, especially in light of it becoming a fully LED lighted system, Concordia has agreed to do some landscape improvements to help mitigate and eliminate the view of the scoreboard from the street. With that, there are some people from Concordia to make a presentation.
President, trustees, staff, thank you so much for inviting us and welcoming us. So my name is Randy Barfield. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at Concordia University, and joining me this evening are Jeff Hines, Senior Vice President for Advancement, and Glenn Steiner, our Vice President for Operations. I think probably many of you know Glenn's been here a long time. So Brian, you did a great overview. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes of introduction, and then I'm going to let Glenn go through the rest of the presentation. So as you know, we've been in the community for over a century, really enjoy being here and have a working relationship with the village. We welcome all the residents to use our track facility. And in fact, we the park folks who were here earlier, we sponsor an annual 5K fundraiser run for the. So I think it's a pretty minor amendment, but it's kind of new to me to understand this development process. It's essentially a drop-in replacement, and you know, as Brian said, old boards, very obsolete and hard for us to think about maintaining. Things fail these days; they're just parts for them. So we're excited about the possibility of getting a new LED board. Ask Quinn to go through the rest of the slides for this. For the trustees.
So, good evening. My name is Glenn Steiner, and I'm with Concordia. The scoreboard that we're going to put in is a series of panels that all sit one next to each other, and they are LED in nature, and the display size is the same as the scoreboard that we have today. There is a decorative feature on the top of this scoreboard, and I'll have an image for you here in a moment, that says Concordia on it. That part is not lit, but it is it does increase the overall size a little bit. We are going to start the scoreboard mounting down a couple of feet to account for that. The overall height increase will be about 1 foot from what you see if you would walk out there today. The primary sports that the stadium serves are football and soccer and lacrosse and track and field. And of course, this scoreboard will support all of those. We're very concerned about neighbor mitigation. We do not want to impact the neighbors or any of their homes with this scoreboard. It will only be on during the day. We only have daytime events. We have no we have lighting around the track for security and for walking purposes in the evening, but we do not have competition lighting of any kind. So we have no after dark events at the track and field. And so this scoreboard would be on for daytime events only. We do not believe that it will be able to overcome daylight to impact a neighbor's residence. What was interest to me, and I'll thank the staff for helping us. I didn't know what nits were, but now I do. And so the scoreboard maximum brightness is 7,500 nits. There is a sensor, and so this data comes from our manufacturer who does understand these things. There's a sensor, and the normal operation is only 40% of the maximum, so about 3,000 of these. And if you would compare that to a billboard that you might see along the highway these days, those are typically operating between 10 and 12,000. So we'll be quite a bit less than that, and again, only during the daytime, turned off at night. So Brian illustrated, we have a slide coming up. We are going to put landscaping in at three locations. There are three views into the campus that we'll illustrate for you. And we're going to install landscaping not only on our property, but we will also be basically paying for installation of landscaping along the public right-of-way or the parkway to the north of the stadium. This is a picture of the scoreboard as you would see it today. It's located in the south east corner of the track, and so you're looking southeast at this. This is the rendering from the manufacturer of what the scoreboard will look like, and there again is that decorative element on top that says Concordia. Again, not lit, but there. This is the image superimposed in the location of the current scoreboard, so you can see what it would look like. Now, I'm just going to pause there and see if there's any questions thus far before we jump to the landscaping.
The lighting part is below the word Concordia.
Correct, yeah. Okay. Concordia is sort of a static design feature. Those panels I described start just below Concordia, but everything else you see below Concordia is part of the display panel assembly. So where you see the score and all that at the bottom, that's part of the display.
Okay.
Correct. Yep. Almost like your TV. Like if this TV were
sure.
were shut off, it would be black. Yes. Yep. Yes, sir.
In the middle, that's a video, right? Am I wrong or not?
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. The whole thing below Concordia is all video screens that fit together. This is the current landscaping, roughly the current landscaping plan. And then right up alongside, you can see the arrows represent the three views into the campus that we're going to work to screen or obscure the view of the scoreboard. And we have some other images coming up, street level images that you'll get to see here in a moment. But those three views, if you were to go out there today and you look through, you would see the scoreboard as it is. So we will then be adding plantings in these locations to obscure that view. So down at view number one is a couple of like shrubs that they'll come at about 4 or 5 feet, and they'll be up on a little berm. There's a rise right at that part of the campus that they'll sit on to obscure the view. And again, street view image is coming. Up at view number two, those are a series of three 10-foot Canadian hemlock. These are all evergreens, by the way. So that way we don't have a seasonal disparity between like when you could, theoretically, you could look back through again when there's no leaves on a different kind of a planting. So these are all evergreen in nature. So those are 10-foot Canadian hemlock up at view two. And then at view three, those are 12-foot spruce, and there are eight of them along the fence line there. And so those are highlighted in what you see as the dark green on the screen.
If you don't mind, I'd like to clarify,
please,
Glenn, if
yeah.
it's okay.
Yeah. Also, in the right-of-way, you'll notice along Division that there are some additional trees that are placed. Those will be deciduous trees. Just want to make sure that that's clarified.
Okay. I think Matt has that image. I know that we just didn't have time to get it into here, but he has it if you'd like to have it brought up. We're agreed to the plantings as were presented by the village to us. So if you'd like to... So these plantings are in the parkway to the north, and you'll see that the arrows are not on here, but they're certainly in line with where views 2 and 3 were illustrating. So there'll be plantings on the Concordia property, but also plantings in the parkway. Brian, is that covered for you?
Thank you, sir.
You bet. If you would, Matt, if we could go back just a couple more slides and then we'll wrap it up. This is view number one. So this is Thomas Street looking due east roughly at the scoreboard, and you can see it circled there. And then you can also see how we've got a little bit of a berm there. This is the view after the landscaping has been put in. You can see that we're obscuring the view of the scoreboard there. This is view number two, which is from the north. You're looking to the southeast, and you can see the scoreboard through there, again in the circle. Then this is after we put in, and this shows one of those trees. I think there's a series of trees now along the parkway, so it'll be a little more robust than what you see here per that drawing that Matt put up for us. But in essence, we'll be screening off or obscuring the view from this angle. And then this is view three, straight down William Street into the stadium where you can see the scoreboard. And this one, this is an initial view now. Those are, again, 12-foot spruce trees that will be going in along the fence line. I think there's probably a couple of parkway trees there. Is it just one, Jeff? Sorry, thank you. So there'll be one. And then as those mature, we've got one more image as the parkway and the other trees would continue to mature. So we feel like day one, we're obscuring the view, and certainly as the trees mature, it'll be further obscured. So those are our slides and our presentation. I want to thank the staff for their, I know Brian, we met several times, and Jeff's been very helpful, Matt and Elijah. So thanks to all of you for your help in getting the slideshow together and with the presentation. We'll take any questions. Yeah. Well, thank you again then for having us. If there's no other questions, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. President. Thank you.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Right. Okay. My
move to adjourn.
Second.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay.